remind us, there's nothing too big for God. Come on. He's still in the healing business. How many knows He's still delivering? He's still setting free. Praise God. Join with me and give God glory and honor this morning. Hallelujah. Church, let all of our visitors know how much we love them, how glad we are that they came to worship the Lord with us this morning. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Amen. Hallelujah. How many believe that? How many is thankful? Glory to God. You know, we didn't have to show up, but God does. I said He shows up. Regardless of the situation, regardless of the number, He shows up. And He's here for us. Amen. Whatever heavy load we're carrying, whatever burden may be upon our shoulders, God is able, amen, to deliver us from each and every one. My, my, my. Don't you just love Jesus? Glory to God. Turn around and tell somebody how much you love Him. Praise God. Hallelujah. Love you. Ooh, that's tone. Praise God. Hallelujah. While you're standing, go with us to the book of Isaiah this morning. Hallelujah. Praise God. I feel the presence of Almighty God. Do not let, amen, this environment of praise, do not let it be interrupted. Entertain. In the book of Isaiah, chapter number 53, I want us to go down to verse number 6 and read verses 6, 7, and 8. Isaiah the prophet writes in the 53rd chapter, verse number 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray." May I read that again? "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is he dumb. So he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken." Can we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, how thankful we are, God, for your Holy Spirit, for your delivering power, for those that you have set free today. God, let us claim the victory. God, let us live in the victory that you have provided for us. Father, I pray for this congregation. I pray, God, that you would touch, God, that you would heal, God, that you would deliver again. Lord, I pray that you would anoint these lips of clay this morning. God, speak to us, God, from heaven. Let us know your direction. God, let us know your purpose. Father, I pray, God, that you would anoint these lips of clay. God is nothing more than a vessel that the Holy Ghost may speak to us. We're thankful for each and every one that's come this morning, God. And I pray that we'll all leave this place in better condition than when we arrived. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Love him one more time. If you would, thank you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank God for His Word. I said, thank God for His Word. Hallelujah. I'm addicted to it. I can't get by a day without it. I find myself constantly, amen, seeking the Word of God. How many knows He knows just exactly what we need, amen, and how to deliver that we need? From the scripture this morning, "All we like sheep have gone astray," I want to leave this message titled with us this morning, "When We Lose Our Way." And don't sit there like you've never lost your way. Because the Bible spoke to me, God's Word said, even every single one of us Notice he didn't say when we lose our salvation. Didn't say when we lose out with God. Not when we lose His way, but when we stray. When we stray, begin to lose our way. The dictionary says to become confused or uncertain about where one is. I remember a very popular phrase when I was young and going to school, and many of the young folks in that day coined the phrase, you know, I'm just trying to find myself. And it was pretty hip, pretty cool to say that and sort of live your life like that. You know what that meant? It meant we're never going to find our way. You're never going to find yourself. I found out later on in years I could do anything humanly possible and never find myself, still be just as lost as I ever was, until somebody pointed me to Jesus. Let me tell you something. Jesus can show you the way no matter how lost you are. Come on, no matter what you've been involved in. No matter what you was doing yesterday. Praise God. Hallelujah. You see, God is not so concerned about yesterday. He's concerned about today and tomorrow going forward. Amen. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. H.G. Wells said this, losing your way on a journey is unfortunate, but losing your reason for the journey is a fate more cruel. We've all been confused. We've all been in a situation where we didn't know to left or right or which way to go, and we stop and ask the Lord for guidance and deliverance. And it's okay sometimes to be a little confused about the way, but never be confused about the reason. Never be confused about the journey. God spoke to me. I was traveling down what I thought was a very familiar road. God began to speak to me. You know, preachers get preached too. Come on. I know y'all think I'm the only one who stands up here and just blows it out. Amen. But thank God sometimes He gives me a message. Amen. And He has my undivided attention because I'm the only one in the congregation when He's preaching. And I was going down a familiar road, which should have been familiar, but this was not even on my mind. The song was playing something about direction. Nobody knows that God doesn't allow things to happen just coincidentally. He has a purpose. He has a reason. Come on, there's a reason God wants you to go to the Word sometimes. There's a reason God wants you to stop that car and pull over and begin to pray. There's a reason God wants you to pick up that phone and call somebody that's been on your heart and been on your mind. There's a reason sometimes God wants you to get out of your bed and get on your knees and begin to pray. You may think things are going good, but you don't know what you're about to face. Amen. When God's anointing begins to speak to you, I believe we ought to be obedient. Amen. And just do and listen to what God would have us to hear. And I began to notice strange things, unfamiliar things. God began to speak to me. And He said, if you go by the things that are around you, and that's what you base your direction on, you may become confused, lost, disoriented. But if you keep your eyes on the path, on the road that you've traveled time and time again, the direction doesn't change. I've been on the same road, and I look around, and buildings are different. Come on, landmarks are no longer there.
How we used to set our direction and our goal by a certain landmark. How many knows that construction and modernization has taken over that, and that old landmark is not there anymore. And where there once was a little white farmhouse, maybe there's a whole subdivision. And where there once was a little corner store, there's now a big strip mall. And everything around us looks different. That is, except the road, amen, that we're still traveling. I believe the church world too long has been affected, amen, by the things that surround us. But if we'll keep our mind on the road, if we'll keep our eyes on the path, the same direction that God has had ordained, amen, from the very beginning of the church, it does not change. Those styles may change, though this landscape around us may change. I'm so glad that the way that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It doesn't change, no matter how much change is around us. And I begin to think, if I was setting my bearings by what is around me, no wonder that people are lost and confused, amen, and seemingly feeling that they have lost their way. Now, I began to think about the message, and I began to think about who Isaiah was talking about. To my God's people. Amen. How many is proud and honored to be a part of God's people? Hallelujah. Come on, folks. You won't win a popularity contest proclaiming that you are a child of God. Hallelujah. And because of that, many of God's children have become silent, have become unassuming. We just go in the secrecy of our church service and our worship and praise. Amen. But let me tell you something, folks. God's word and His direction never changes. Amen. Glory to God. This scripture is talking, I believe, to the church. To those who are born again. To those who have been filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost for years. You know, because of circumstances. Because of situations. Because of happenings in our life. The surrounding environment that is around us causes us sometimes to almost kind of reevaluate our purpose. Reevaluate our direction. And we become lost and we become confused. And so much so that we're saying, Lord, where are you? Lord, when I need you the most, I can't find you. Here I am, God, in the midst of a dense fog. I was reading a story of a person who loved to kayak. He was so familiar with the lake that he felt that he could go on the kayak without a compass, without any landmarks. And he was paddling away and kind of began to be consumed with the beauty and nature and everything. And all of a sudden, there came a dense fog in. And he said he could not see the shoreline. He could not see anything that looked familiar. And he said the only thing that he had to keep his bearings was which way the wind was blowing. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been in such a darkened condition that everything around you seemed like it was closing in on you? You couldn't see deliverance. You couldn't see victory. You couldn't feel, amen, that you knew where you was going. But all of a sudden, when we begin to sit still and feel the Holy Ghost wind begin to blow upon us, leading us in the right direction, glory to God, leading us where we need to go to be able to find ourselves safely on the other side of the shore. Hallelujah. Only thing he had to go by was that still small breeze that was blowing. Hallelujah. God's speaking to us many, many times, and we're not listening. Many things attribute to losing our way. I read one article that said losing your way is not necessarily a bad thing. I didn't forget where I was going. I want you to chew on it a minute. Really, how in the world can losing your way be a good thing? Well, that's exactly what I ask. Then I begin to think. The key word there is your way. Sometimes you have to lose your way to find God's way. I don't know about you, but I want them to be one and the same. I want God's way to be my way. And I got news for you. He ain't changing His way. And that's all right with me. So the change is going to have to be done on my part. Glory to God. So sometimes losing our way, losing our desire, losing what we think we ought to do, where we think we ought to go, where we think we ought to say, sometimes causes us to get into a state of confusion. Spirituality, come on. Sometimes we don't feel like the hand of God is leading us and guiding us and directing us. That's because we have veered off the path. That's because we've lost sight of the goal. Amen. And we stand confused in a spiritual sense, amen, of stupor, because we don't know where to go and what to do. And we often think it's God's fault. God, why did you leave me? He has not left us. We veered off the path. When we get back on the path, we'll find the hand of God. We'll find His anointing. We'll find His direction. He will not lead us astray. We have gone astray, losing direction. As I mentioned, the landscape changes. Come on. How many knows what I'm talking about? Glory to God. I remember when we used to go to my aunt and uncle's house at Smyrna. I was shocked when they moved Smyrna over by 285. On my mind, they moved the whole city. Because when I was little, 285 wasn't even there. But 78 was. And every traffic light between Villarica and Smyrna was. Amen. But it was a familiar path. Amen. Later on, many, many years after that, I had an opportunity. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I need your anointing right now. I had an opportunity to date a little brunette that was friends with my aunt and uncle who happened to live in Smyrna. The house that my aunt and uncle lived in that we went to when we were small. So, I was told the easiest way to get there, you know, to go I-20-285 South Cobb Drive. Lord have mercy. I hadn't been driving very long. And I went around there, all around there, and I said, you know what? When I go home, I'm going to go back 78 in a familiar path. Glory to God. But I found the little brunette. But I went back 78. I went back to something that was familiar. Come on, folks. So many times, something that looks more lucrative, looks more exciting, looks more thrilling, amen, is nothing more than just something to lead you away from a familiar path that you've gone on. Not only do we lose our direction that causes us to lose our way, but we lose sight of our purpose. I often talk about the scholar that wore overalls. The scholar that wore overalls never had an advanced education, just minimal education. But what life and what the power of God had taught him was immeasurable because of what came out of his mouth. That was harbored in his heart. He wasn't a man that talked a whole lot, but what he said, amen, always was very, very interesting and profound. We've talked about it at our little devotion on Friday morning. He once made the statement, what one generation allows becomes the norm of the following generation. If you don't think that's true, what do we just kind of turn our head today that something that the last generation would have been total in an uproar about? And we just say, well, that's the norm. Wasn't always the norm. And he made that statement. But one other statement that he made, when somebody was talking about his age and his life, and he said, you know what? I wasn't put here to live. I was put here to prepare to live. Glory to God. Well, I'm going to hit the repeat button. He said, I wasn't put here to live. Boy, that destroys about 99% of the thoughts of the world today. We think we're here to have a good time. We think we're here to enjoy the thrills of this world. We think we're here to please the flesh. But let me tell you, all of that fun, all of that thrill, all of those things that the so-called world says you gotta have, it's gonna be temporal. It's gonna be temporary. It's gonna be gone. But those who are preparing to live are gonna live forever. In a glorified state with a glorified body. There'll be no end to it. There'll be no sickness. There'll be no pain. There'll be no cripples. There'll be no cancer. There'll be no hospitals. Glory to God. When we get over yonder, it's going to be worth every trial, every problem, every issue that we've ever encountered down here. Wait till you see. Wait till you see what the Lord has prepared for those who stay on that path that the Bible says is straight and narrow. Broad is the path that leads to destruction. When we lose sight of our purpose, listen and see if this doesn't ring a bell. It causes emptiness and confusion. Let me use a secular example, if I may. When we lose sight of our purpose, our job becomes a burden. When we adopt the idea that I am living to work rather than working to live, there's a big difference. It becomes emptiness and confusion and resentment and dissension. But when we realize that God has given me this opportunity to provide for myself and for my family, and thank God, working is not eternal. Can I get an amen? That will end too. Glory to God. One of these days we'll work no more. One of these days we won't have to supply for the flesh. It's all going to be provided for us. Man, but when we lose sight of our purpose, and also when we lose sight of our purpose while we're serving God, when we think the only reason we're serving God is for the fringe benefits and for what He can do for us and how He can bless us, we lose sight of the real purpose of why we serve Him. Hallelujah. And why we worship Him. Because He is my Savior. Because of His price on Calvary, my sin and my iniquities have been nailed to the cross. Amen. They are no longer a burden. They are no longer some chains that hold me down. I've been delivered not because of me, but I've been delivered because of what Jesus Christ did, what Isaiah the prophet prophesied. All we like sheep have gone astray, but there's a Savior. I said, but there's a Savior. If I only preach we all gone astray, it would be a terrible and disappointing message. But there is an end to that. All we like sheep have strayed, but we have a Savior, Jesus Christ, who come to this earth to save us. Hallelujah. And give us purpose. Amen. I want all of the men in the congregation to pull the thumbs and the earwax out of your ears and listen to this. And I ought to get some amens from the females in our congregation. Remember, it's okay to ask for direction. I thought that would hit home. Brother Jim, it's all right to ask for direction. I know it's not manly. I know for some reason it thinks that, you know, it shows a little frailty of us. I know it's an ego buster. But let me ask you this question. Why would you want to drive till you empty your gas tank and still not know where you're going? When all you had to do was stop and ask for direction. Man, can I bring that into a spiritual light? Sometimes we go at 90 miles an hour and have an idea of where we're going. I just got to go. I got to go. I got to get this done. I got to get that done. I ain't got time to get it all done. There's only so many hours in there. Let me tell you what you better do. Sometime in that 24 hours, man, you better stop and ask for direction. Not necessarily talking about your wife. I'm talking about Jesus. Lord, is this where you want me? God, is this what you want me to be doing? God, is this what's the most important thing in my life? Or God, do I first need to stop and ask direction from you? Do I first need to stop and seek your guidance and seek your kingdom? And then might it be possible that after I seek you first or after I sought you first, everything else is going to fall right into place? Can I get a testimony? Can I get a witness? Does it work? Does it work? You know it works. When we ask direction from the Lord, He will give it because He loves us. Hallelujah. When we lose our way, praise God. Let me address the guilt complex this morning. My fourth point here. You're not the only one who's gotten lost. Satan will beat you up. When we finally submit to God that we've lost our way. Now understand, I'm not talking about you backslidden, lost out with God. Sometimes you just kind of got your victory in your hand. And what am I going to do with it? It's in there somewhere. Joy is in my heart, but it's being kind of moved out with all of these other issues and things. Come on. You're not the only one that's ever happened to. Let me tell you what Jesus said. My God. My God. Why hast thou forsaken me? That wasn't the Spirit. That was His flesh. You might think where you are is the most horrible, terrible, painful anguish that you've ever experienced in your life. And your flesh cries out, my God! My God! Why have you forsaken me? When in fact, it's exactly where He wants you at that particular time in your life. Because sometimes it takes those places, it takes those experiences to make us realize my way may not be God's way, and I want to walk in God's way. I got to live in God's way. I got to be led by God's Spirit, no matter how lonely, no matter how hurtful, no matter how painful the journey may be. Hallelujah. Because if it's my way, then I lose sight of the goal. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm not sure. I can't speak for everybody. But my destination is heaven. Hallelujah. It was the night that I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It is today. But can I tell you, the landscape has changed. Come on. Some of the familiar landmarks are no longer there. I mentioned Wednesday night. Just really been thinking about a memorial service. I know we have Memorial Day. I know we have memorial services. But I begin to think about the patriarchs and the pioneers of this particular church and the landmarks that there were there. Right now, I believe that the only ones that was in that particular yard meeting up on Harlan Lane Road in my great-granddaddy's house out in the yard are just about two or three. That's all that's left. But later on, as God blessed and gave us a place of worship and gave us this wonderful piece of property that we now call First Pentecostal Church, there's landmarks. There was Sister Ida Bailey and Sister Irma Bailey. There was Uncle Max and Aunt Dorothy and my Granny Allen, who I always said, if you looked in a Holy Ghost dictionary and you looked by the word that said Granny or Saint of God, I believe her picture would be there. That's how true of a Saint of God she was. Mother and Daddy, Virgil and Francis. I remember seated right here was the founding pastor of this church, my granddaddy, Brother P.C. Bailey. Hallelujah. And I know I don't want to keep calling names because I know I'll miss some. The Mac Adams is precious, precious folks. And I begin to think, if I'm going only by landmarks, those landmarks aren't here. Boy, I relied on them when they was here. Papa, I need your advice. I'm kind of lost my direction here a little bit. Familiar. Visited it so many times and he would help me. I see an empty chair there. That landscape has changed. Mamita, your favorite grandson named Danny. Of which there was only one Eddie. Would love to have one of your rice puddings. The very next day as I was driving up the driveway, here come Mamita. With a, if you don't know what a rice pudding is, you're not going to understand. A bubbling rice pudding that just come out of, I mean, that thing was still bubbling. And I said, all of this for me? She said, well, that's what you asked for. Familiar landscape. But she's not there. Granny's not there. Daddy's not there. Don't get me wrong. I wouldn't want them to come back for nothing. Amen. Because they followed their path. But I've got to follow the path. Papa's not here, but the path that he followed. Now, don't get me wrong. It wasn't Papa's path. It was Jesus' path. When you got your eyes on Jesus, landscapes may change. People may come and go. Congregations may change. But if you're focused on the path of Jesus, glory to God, then you know where you're going. Hallelujah. You won't detour to the right. You won't detour to the left. But you'll follow the path. Amen. And even when you follow the path, sometimes we still get a little disoriented. But that's when we ask direction from God. Isaiah said, all we, like sheep, have gone astray. When we turn to our own way, but we have a Savior who bore our iniquities. You may think that you are an insignificant, unloved an unrecognized sheep. And you may think that whether you are in the fold or not makes entirely no difference whatsoever on the effect of the service or even on the effect of the heart and minds of the other sheep that are in the fold. But I want to tell you of what great importance you are to the shepherd. The good shepherd. I'm only an underling. He is the good shepherd. And as much as I love you, he loves you even more. Hallelujah. And he wants you to seek the familiar path. So much so that when Jesus spoke this parable in the book of St. Luke, chapter number 15, verse 4. What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. How much does he love you? Enough to put the entire congregation on hold, if you will, because he knows where they are, and they know where he is. But the lost sheep has lost his way through whatever reason. Notice, he doesn't reprimand the sheep. He doesn't fuss the sheep out. He doesn't say, you old sheep, you knew better. But he seeks it until he finds it. Can I tell you, I thought that maybe the sheep wasn't in the first place he looked. Oh well, I've called him once or twice. But not Jesus. Not the good shepherd. He kept seeking until he found it. He didn't kick it. He didn't fuss it out. But he reached down his saving hand and he lifted it up, put it on his shoulder. Why is that important? Because when you're lost, you don't need to be beat up. You don't need to be told it was your fault. You need to be loved. You need some compassion. You don't need the shepherd to condone what you did, but you need the shepherd to forgive what you did. Because all we, like sheep, have gone astray. But thank God, when the Savior reached down for me, he had to reach way down for me because I was lost and undone. Without God, his Son, when the Savior reached down for me. Are you there, saint? Are you disoriented? Are you confused? Are you questioning your purpose? Are you questioning your relationship with the Lord? Have you let too many other directions and goals, personal goals, and situations that you want to be involved with? Has it smothered out your focus and your direction? It's time to seek God first. I want to leave you with this scripture, Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. When I stand in a mirror and I look, I am that which was lost. I was praying with someone in the altar years and years ago. It seemed like they would get so close to the infilling of the Spirit. And then they would just kind of hit a block wall. And I remember talking to them. And I said, man, you're right on the verge. What? And you know what the wall was? Their past. They'd get so excited, it's feeling so good. The power of God just fixing to fill them. And they would just like shut it off, like you turn a spigot of water off. And it was their conscience bothering them. And you know what I told them? I said, I'm going to share something that worked with me because I've been there. See, I didn't get the baptism the first time I fell in the altar. I had too much garbage. I had too much. I couldn't. God could release it or took it from me the very first night, but I couldn't release it. But something that helped me, and I pray that this will be a help to you. The night that I made it personal, and I want to give you an explanation of what that means. Jesus Christ died for all of our sin. Jesus hung on the cross that we might be saved. But when I changed that to me personally, not discounting the fact that he saved or died for everybody's salvation, but he died for me. And when I envisioned him hanging on the cross and looking down at me, that's how much he loved me. Because I was the lost sheep. And he wouldn't quit seeking. And he wouldn't quit looking. And he wouldn't quit loving. And he saved me. And he forgave me. And he washed me. Oh, what a rejoicing thing that was. And I opened up. And Jesus filled me with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Thank God. And he is no respecter of persons. What he's done for me, he'll certainly do for you. Sister Jennifer, would y'all come to the music, please? Would you stand? I hope that you've received something from the Spirit of God. I feel like that I have poured my heart out. I feel like that I have somehow, as much of a failure as I am, that maybe somehow God is speaking to some hearts today. Don't be lost. Don't feel like you have no purpose in life. Don't feel like nobody loves you. I know Satan, how he works. He wants you to be comfortable being lost. He wants you to be comfortable caught up in the world. But today is a day. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. What are you going to do with it? Are you just going to continue to meander down that path without direction? Or are you going to find Jesus? Would you come? Would you come? While he's reaching out to you, would you come?